not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your many blessings. We're thankful, God, for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray your blessing, I pray your anointing upon each and every one here. God, if there's any needs here, Father, we know, God, that you're able. God, we know that the Word is living and the Word is mighty and you are the Word. And Father, we need to speak the Word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering here tonight. God, to read your Word. God, to obey and be submissive to it. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, as we speak, I pray, God, that you would just speak through us tonight. Just bless this vessel tonight. God, as just an oracle, God, that we may hear from heaven. And we'll look to you to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I said, this is quite often called the love chapter, and basically it has been adopted by many wedding ceremonies, and rightfully so, as two people begin to join their lives together to become one. And these are some reminders of what love is all about, and what how that we are supposed to love one another and to love each other. But I do find that it is an excellent chapter for the church, for the growth of the church. There are scriptures that tend to be guided toward the unbelievers that would most naturally cause them to turn from their evil ways and turn to God. There's scripture for doctrine, reproof. There's scripture for exhortation. In fact, there's something in the Bible for whatever we face. But this, I believe this was written expressly to the church. Those that are born again, those that are believers, and those who are living for Christ, and how that we should mimic Christ. In fact, one writer put it this way, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And certainly, we strive to be Christ-like. In fact, that's the whole meaning behind Christian, is to be Christ-like. But here, this particular writer talks about some things. And I want to, if I had a topic or a message title tonight, it would be 9 Ingredients of Divine Love. Nine Ingredients of Divine Love. The Bible says here that love never fails, basically. And we wonder why sometimes that things do fail. Relationships fail. Feelings sometimes go awry. And we wonder if the love is truly, truly there. But I believe in order to love, we must first learn to love the Lord. Because really we can try to love, but I don't think that we really have the ability to truly love one another until Christ enters to our life. Then we know what love and grace and mercy is all about. This word charity, basically, in the Greek format is called agape or agape. I mean, who's ever heard that? Agape. It is a Greek meaning for the highest form of love. How many knows that we use the word love sometimes? Really, we overuse it, I think, because when we really use the word love and agape love, it is the highest form of love and adoration and admiration. And we use the love loosely, or the word loosely sometimes, I think, just like I love to shop, or I love to hunt, or I love to do this and love to do that. And really it has become, I think, a little bit, if not diluted or watered down or something, but when we tell somebody we love them, then we better mean it from the heart. It's not just lip service. So that's what we're talking about tonight. So 9 ingredients. The first ingredient that is talked about here in this particular passage is patience. Now, sometimes you think about love and you think about patience and you wonder what one has to do with the other. But let me bear this out a little bit. And what this is, what we've I've found this, and what it does, it makes each one of these ingredients come basically alive in our application of how we use these ingredients in love. And what we say when we love somebody or when we use that expression, then it should entail all nine of these ingredients to be fulfilled. One or two ingredients doesn't make it complete. How many of you bakers know you have to put every ingredient, even if it calls for, what is it, the tisp? Somebody, that's a teaspoon, right? I get it mixed up. One is a tablespoon, one is a teaspoon. That's why I'm not a baker. I'd probably put a tablespoon where a teaspoon needed to be. But in order to make the finished product, you have to get all of the ingredients exactly right. I know Penny's been baking for a long, long time, but she still gets out the recipe card, so she wants to make sure that she puts the right amount of ingredients and all of the ingredients in there so that she can have the finished product. So we think about patience, and when I saw this, I found this, and I thought, well, what does patience got to do with love? But it has everything to do with love, because patience is love passive. Okay? Love passive, meaning that it suffers and bears all things. So if we truly love one another, we're going to be able to be patient with one another. We're going to bear those things and be able to suffer those things. In fact, when your feelings are hurt, if that love is really there, that doesn't mean you just stop loving somebody because you got your feelings hurt, or because you was misunderstood, or misunderstood them, or whatever the situation was. But we must have patience to endure those things, because if we really want that love to last and be everlasting, and that's what love is. I mean, I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't stop loving me when I fall by the wayside, or when I err, or when I am in a bad mood, or whatever the situation may be. I'm so glad that He has patience with me. I don't know about you, but He had to have a lot of patience with me, because I was not one that readily accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I offered lots of excuses and a time factor. It's not, I'm not ready. I've got too much going on in my life. I want to get this done and do that, and one of these days I'll settle down. But I'm so thankful that His love, His agape love, which is the highest form of love that there is, had patience with me until finally I realized that I needed to get my life straight. And the only way I could ever get my life straight was to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. The second one is something that's pretty much, as the saying goes, a no-brainer. We understand that this has to be and needs to be an ingredient of love, and that is kindness. Kindness. And actually, kindness is love in action. Okay, patience is love passive, but kindness is love in action. So what do you think about when you think about love in action? Kind of more than lip service, isn't it? So what is love in action? Doing one for another? Exactly right. Amen. You know, when you have children, you somehow that love even is increased, because when you was a child, you begin to see the things now that mom and dad did for you that you took for granted back then, that they did for you because they loved you. And then when you have children, for instance, you want them to have the best. So let's say, you know, the season is coming up. Christmas season is coming up. And when we were kids, it was all about us. It was all about what we're going to get. And mom and dad did their very best. But now when you get family and you get children and grandchildren, it's a lot more satisfying and pleasing and fulfilling to sit back and watch them get something. And I know that's material things, but it also holds true in our relationship. Kindness is love in action. It never acts rashly or proud. In other words, you don't puff yourself up just for being kind. In fact, kindness should be the norm of having a loving relationship. And not only to love the Lord, because His kindness is beyond our ability to measure, but be ye kindly affectioned, as the Bible says, one to another. So kindness is love in action. And certainly, if just doing something for your spouse, doing something for your children, without feeling obligated to do so. Isn't that one of the nicest things that you can possibly do for somebody? I know Brother Jim and I have talked about it too, and in our generation we was brought up, you know, you hold the door for ladies. You open the door. You step back and do things like that. And you do it without thinking. It's just one of a show of kindness. But when you really love one another, and when you really love your spouse, or you love your children, or you love the brothers and sisters in Christ, and again, I believe This is directed to the church. I know we use it in the wedding rehearsals and the wedding ceremonies and all, but I really believe it is directed to the church and how that we should manifest that love one to another in our relationships with our brothers and sisters. So, love in action. Generosity. And I thought the way they worded this was kind of unique. It is love in competition. Now, it's not envious and it's not jealous, but it's generous, okay? And not competition to see who can do the most, but it's love in competition, meaning that I'm going to do something for somebody else rather than doing something for myself all the time. So if we truly have the agape, or agape love, which is the highest form of love that the Bible tells us that there is, then we naturally should be a generous person. Generosity. You know, generosity is not always just giving money either, is it? Generosity, it comes in a lot of things. Giving of your time, just calling folks, letting folks know that you're there for them or whatever. And shouldn't the church be that way? Shouldn't we be that way? Shouldn't we be able to rely on one another? And this is one of the main ingredients of love here that it talks about. So generosity is love in competition. Now the next one I was just really, really overwhelmed with it. And I want to remember this because I didn't write this. I found this little piece of thing written and I thought how wonderful that is. But it mentions humility. Now when we talk about humility, what are we talking about? Okay. Humbleness and not flaunting ourselves and kind of, I like to say, kind of in the background a little bit. Something gets done, it doesn't matter if we're recognized if it got done or not. That's not the purpose. It's just that it got done and we don't have to be lifted up about it or patted on the back. It's just we got it done, you know, or we did this or we did that or whatever. But humility, and I love the way it says, it's love in hiding. Love in hiding. How many has ever received anything or something from somebody and it just said anonymous? Or you done something for somebody and you didn't want any recognition, you just did anonymous. And people do that. And in this day and time, that is really remarkable because outside of the church, in society, in the public realm, most people want to be rewarded or be recognized for something that they do. You know, if they give a lot of money, they want to be recognized that they was the one that donated that, or the big plaque on the wall or something, this particular wing was donated by such and such. But here it talks about being love and hiding. In other words, doing those wonderful things behind the scenes. You know, just kind of helping somebody else. And you know one of the sweetest things that can be done, and it don't cost very much and it don't take very much of your time, is to simply buy a little card. Don't even put your name on it or anything. Send it to somebody that God has laid upon your heart and just tell them, you know, loving you, praying for you, hoping everything's going well. That's one of the sweetest things you can do because people are going to wonder, who in the world sent that, you know. But it means that somebody's thinking about you, but it's love in hiding. Doing something lovely for somebody, doing something especially for somebody without having to be recognized for it. No parade, no airs, just kind of doing something nice for somebody. And then courtesy. Courtesy is love in society. Okay, meaning that basically that's the way we conduct ourselves. Courteous, you know, courteous, you know, tip your hat. Courteous, open the door. Courteous, speak to somebody. You know, a lot of people have this attitude, well, you know, nobody talks to us anymore. Do you speak to them? You know, Christians ought to be the initiators. Whether they say good morning or not, good morning. You know, how are you today? Isn't it a lovely day? Isn't God good? You know, things like that. You get some weird looks sometimes, but that's courteous. You know, doing the courteous thing. You know, standing up, giving your seat to somebody. All of these wonderful things. And being courteous in church as well. Being courtesy in the church or in the body. So that's love in society. Always polite, never rude, or discourteous. Discourteous. What's the opposite of courteous? Discourteous. That's those drivers on I-20, you know, that cuts you off and then turn their blinker on and get off on the ramp, you know. And that's not a courteous thing to do. And, you know, one of the greatest false advertisement as when we got a sign on the car that says honk if you love Jesus, and we're the one that cutting somebody off or something. You know, that's not a very good ambassador for Christ. But be courteous. Be courteous in your certainly in the church and in your family, but be courteous too in your life. Unselfishness. Not selfishness. Unselfishness. Boy, does the world need a good dose of that today. If ever, and I've been around a while, but I've never in my life seen such an air of selfishness in the world today. And it's not just in children. It's not just in the millennials. It's in all walks of life. There is such a feeling of I don't know what you would call it, but just selfish. Give me, the me. It's the me person, you know. It's all about me, what I want, give it to me. I don't care if you got anything or not, I want this, that kind of the other. But that's not the type of love that Christ exemplified. That's not what he was about, and that's not what he wanted us to be. Basically, it's unselfishness. The writer here said it's love in essence. Other words, it's never selfish. There's no time to be selfish, okay? Especially with a Christian, we should practice unselfishness. It should never be sour or bitter. I mean, you know, you've heard the words "get over it." You know, Christian ought to be able to get over it. You know, I guarantee you, I could ask for a show of hands tonight and say, "Has anybody ever been wronged in your life?" Probably 100% of us. But there comes a time when we need to be bigger than that, and we need to be unselfish about it and pray for those people. Pray for them that hurt you and all and whatever, but get over it, because it shouldn't make us bitter. It shouldn't make us angry. It shouldn't make us become sour in our attitude. And Christians shouldn't be that way. What is the saying? I'm too blessed to be stressed. So we got too much going for us. There's too much positive things going in our life. So unselfishness is love in essence. Seeks only the good of others. Man, I wish that the world could get a hold of that. You know, really do, that they would be helpful to others and concerned about others and others' welfare, rather than all of the selfish attitude that seemingly is rampant in the world today. Now, 7 says good temper. Do you think Christians need a good temper? First of all, you know, somebody says, have you got a temper? Yeah, I got a temper. I think everybody's got a temper. My granddaddy used to say, well, a knife ain't worth anything if it ain't been tempered. So you have to learn to control that temper. It's different than having a temper and controlling that temper. You know, I'll use the story that several years ago when I was in the bread business, a good friend of mine who's also a pastor and a preacher was also in the a distributorship business, and he came in one morning, and it was on one of those Monday mornings. Isn't it amazing what Mondays do? You just had service on Sunday, and the Lord's blessing, and everything's great, and then you get up, and it's Monday morning, and oh my goodness, you know, you got to face all of those things. And he had this look on his face, and I said, brother, how's everything going? He said, oh, you just wouldn't believe it. It's just been so awful. He said, I got so aggravated yesterday. I said, I'm ashamed to say it, but I just got plumb mad. And he said, I know preachers ain't supposed to get mad. And I said, who told you that? And I told him, I said, Jesus even turned over a table. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, that's right, he did, didn't he? And he went away feeling a little bit better. But it's how you control that temper. So a good temper is love in disposition. Have you ever just seen anybody that just seemed like never got upset over anything? They just had that aura about them, that smile, that wonderful ray of joy and all. I will assure you that person has issues. I will assure you that they've got problems. They've got troubles just like everybody else. But they've learned not to let it affect them, not to let it grow on them, and not to let walk into the office like this where everybody looks and sees, man, something's wrong with you. But, you know, you just kind of go on in and have that good temper about you, that good self-control. And it's love and disposition. Never irritated. Now, I saw that and I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Never irritated? I'm not there yet. Irritation sometimes still gets a hold of me. And I'm just being honest. Sometimes I may not lose control, but can get a little irritated. things in this world, things in this life, things you hear on the news, things you watch on television, things you read in the paper, sometimes gets a little bit under my skin and irritated. But in other words, but you got to have a good temper about it. Sometimes the best thing to do is just laugh about it. You know, just my goodness gracious, the situations that go on. But never irritated and never resentful. Can I tell you that resentment can breed an ugliness in a person? Because it begins to grow and grow and grow. And first thing you know, a little bitty thing will cause such a division between people and even groups of people and even families. So don't be resentful. Don't be resentful. Learn to forgive. And as you forgive, amen, keep that good temper about you. So that's love and disposition. Righteousness. What do you think that is? What would you say righteousness is? Well, the author said it's love and conduct. Now, we can say all kind of things in the world. We can say I'm the best person in the world, I can be the easiest person to get along with, and I love you. But if it don't show in our conduct, how many ever got good grades in school, but conduct went down? You know, it just wasn't, you didn't conduct yourself really. And most of the time it was for excess talking. Yeah, talking, you know. But conduct. And can I tell you, more Christians, more born-again people have destroyed their testimony by their conduct. Because when people see and view the conduct, they forget what you said. They forget how righteous you said you were, or how holy you said you were, or how much you were trying to live for the Lord. But if it doesn't exemplify, if it doesn't show in your conduct, then you lose your testimony, and people will lose confidence in you. So, it's one way to talk it, but you also got to walk it too. So righteousness is love in conduct. How many of you are, just do the right thing. Whether anybody's looking or everybody's looking, just do the right thing. That is righteousness in love in conduct. Hates sin. Doesn't hate the sinner, but hates sin. Sin has never been loved by God. He's always had hatred for sin. And he loves goodness. We love goodness. We love goodness in ourselves. We love goodness in others. And we love goodness in the Word of the Lord. And I like this. Hopeful and eager to believe the best. Boy, that's a complete turnaround for most people in the world today. Because they're eager and hopeful to believe the worst. Just see what's on the news. Because if the news is an hour, for 59 minutes, they'll tell you everything's bad, and then they'll end. On the lighter side, they'll tell you a short little story that kind of makes you feel a little bit better. But, you know, if we're Christian, if we're walking for the Lord, we need to be able to also love goodness and be eager and hopeful to believe the very best, to believe the best in others. What if somebody tells you about something and you say, wait a minute, you know, I don't need to hear that. You know, we need to pray for them. You know, I need to know what's best for them, and I need to not carry this tale or repeat this tale. So that's love in conduct and how we conduct ourselves. Not in just the church. Now, it ought to be, again, a no-brainer to love one another and conduct ourselves in a Christian-like manner in church, but also on our job, where we shop, in our neighborhood, wherever that we go. And then finally tonight, the last one is sincerity. And that's love and profession, okay? And that's just kind of sums it up. Honest, true, and just. Never boastful or conceited. And then I like what he ended up with. Not a hypocrite. You know, that's one of the big excuses that people that don't go to church today, you know what they say? I'm not going to go up there with those hypocrites. You know what caused them to say something like that? Do you think all people in churches are hypocrites? Absolutely not. They've had bad experience with somebody, and they've just grouped everybody together. And that's the reason, like I said, you know, you can preach it, you can teach it, you can talk it, but if one instance tears all of that down, then that's what that person's going to remember. Not saying that that's right, because if they was a Christian, they'd learn to have these 9 ingredients. But understand, they're not born again yet. They're not, but we are. And that's the reason we should have these ingredients in our life. And these ingredients ought to be working every day in our life. We should be exemplifying these things. We should be using these things in our life. And all of these wonderful things tie in together to form that charity or that agape love, which is, you know, the Bible tells us that God is love. So if we have God, then we have love. If we don't have God, it's very hard for us to say that we actually have that love. But if the Lord is within us, then we have that love. So sincerity is love in profession. Being sincere. Being who you are. Where you are. Doesn't matter where you go, where you are. Be that same person. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't, you know, people will find you out in a heartbeat. I guarantee you. But if you just be yourself, that's all that people ask of you to be, is just be yourself. And let the light of Christ shine in your life. That's what we're promoting anyway. We're not promoting our church or ourselves or our ministry. We're promoting Jesus Christ. What does that say? It's about, not about us. It's all about Him. So as we live and witness for the Lord, let's use these ingredients. And I will assure you, if you put all of those ingredients, amen, you'll have a good finished product. Now, are we there yet? I can say I'm still reaching. I'm still pressing toward that mark. Amen. Not reach that perfection yet. Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean I'm going to give up. I'm going to continue to try to exemplify these things into my life, to engulf them in my life and be a part of that. So again, patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, righteousness, and sincerity. Sounds like a pretty good group to have in our life, doesn't it? And I know that probably what we think, well, it's impossible to have all of that. No, it's not. Not really. If we have God. And that's impossible without God. Amen. But if we have the Lord, amen, we can incorporate all of those things into our life. God bless you tonight. I love you. I appreciate you. I know it's wintertime. I know it's cold outside. But you folks have come to the house of the Lord tonight. And I appreciate that. And I thank you so very much. And I just pray that God will bless you. And I pray, God, that you'll have a good, safe trip. Amen. And just let's remember all the activities that are going on, all the things that are happening, and let's be in church Sunday and it'll be a time to worship and praise the Lord. Does anyone need prayer tonight before we dismiss? All right. Would you stand? Brother Jim, would you come forward tonight and dismiss us with a word of prayer? God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for praise. Praise the Lord. We do love you and we're so glad that you were able to spend this evening with us. And we're looking forward to great things. And we know God is continuously, you know, blessing. And there's so many things going forward. All hearts and minds clear. Also, don't forget about Overcomers Outreach tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. 7:30. I always say that. Okay. 7:30. Praise God. I know there's a conflict with the Band of Brothers, but we'll work it all out. All righty. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed then. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you, dear Lord. Thank you for your love and mercy, dear Lord, for you always, dear Lord, being willing to fill us with your holy presence and your spirit. Dear Lord, as we continue our journey, dear Lord, as we prepare to leave, Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back our appointed time, but dear Lord, may we be that vessel you can use. Lord, with your love that you've so freely given to us, may we share with others, dear Lord. May we be sincere in everything that we do and show that love. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we ask you just to guide us and keep us and as we prepare to depart. Keep us safe and again, bring us back at our appointed time. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
That's what I'm saying. I could not. I don't know who. It was know,
it happened after a wedding.
You know, that's what I was trying to explain to them. They thought we'd give a sit with these cords hanging out. We're going to trip over them. Is that one of them? But Kevin mentioned, and I remember this, when we get a movie next door, we made up some cords, but he doesn't know if they're still in this. So I'm going to see.
Maybe over there.
I'm going to see. Well, you sure did. And one time we had this one down in the
boat. That's why I don't know if it's hanging. It's
so if they could have one because I know this those remembers the extension cords too.
Yeah, we had one. We had one long one that was curled up over here on one of these pulled across and it wouldn't break. I thought we used it over there.
You know, we might have.
So it might be over there in the sound.
We can look in the sound. Because it's a simple.
It's just an extension
cord. I hope so.